Last week we went over to Jericho, and Joshua was marching around the battle, or fitting the battle of Jericho, as my great-grandpa always said, and we studied about how that wall was in front of them, and there should have been no way, it didn't make sense that they would be able to win the battle at Jericho, but that how that God was with them and God brought them through that. So tonight we're going to be in Acts chapter number 9. Maybe this is going to hit a little closer home for me. This is a lesson that I struggle with. This is something that sometimes when God speaks and God leads, and honestly, if I'll be honest, a lot of times I'm so busy and I'm so covered up with other things going on in my mind that I don't listen for God to speak. And you say, well, I'm glad my preacher is telling me. Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. There's no reason to stand here tonight and act like I'm Mr. Holy and, man, I'm walking around all the time saying, Lord, speak, and I want to listen. My heart does that. But sometimes I'm not sure that I'm just opening my mind and my ears to God saying, God, speak to me because I want to hear from the things that satisfy here on this earth too many times. I want to hear the next phone call of somebody wanting to buy a plumbing part. Or I want to hear the next call of let's go play, let's go do that. And I satisfy my flesh more than I do my spirit. And I don't listen for God to speak. So here in Acts chapter number 9, we know that Saul has been persecuting the church. I mean, he's killing them left and right. He's holding the coats for the people who are stoning Stephen. In Acts chapter number 9, verse number 1, the Bible says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Now, there's one thing about Saul here is not only was he going against the disciples, not only was he going against the followers of Christ, and he was persecuting them, he was killing them, he was taking them to prison, but he had the law on his side. It wasn't that in the people's eyes, he was doing a good thing. So it says here that he goes to the high priest in verse 2, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So he goes unto the high priest, and he says, look, if I find anybody, I don't care if it's a man or woman, whatever, he said, I want to go toward Damascus, and if I find anybody there in the synagogues that is proclaiming Jesus Christ or that is following Jesus Christ, I want the power, I want the right to arrest them, to persecute them, and to bring them bound into Jerusalem. Verse number 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? It's kind of amazing how he had the answer to his own question, wasn't it? Who art thou, Lord? I mean, you're speaking to me, and I know you're Lord. So verse number 5, and it continues, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Listen, Saul, a man who was persecuting the church, who was fighting against Christians, who went out after them. Like I said, he was there when they stoned Stephen. He was going against, when God spoke to him, when Jesus Christ spoke to him. I know if you notice here in my Bible, and I'm sure if yours does, we don't have red letter on the screen, but in the red letter in my Bible, it was Jesus speaking to him. It says, why persecutest thou me? And we know in the Godhead, they're all three in one. You can't separate them. You got to have one. You got to have all. We ain't going to get into that tonight. But as God is speaking and as Jesus speaks to him and says, why persecutest thou me? And he says, wait a minute. What would you have me to do? A man that was obviously lost, that was against Christ, that was not following God in any circumstance in his life, that did not have any respect of God whatsoever. But yet when God spoke, he said, what do you want me to do? But on the other hand, on my life, now I say that I'm trying to follow God and I want to be where God wants me and I want to be in the path that God has given me and I want to be in the way that the Lord is leading my life. But yet sometimes when God speaks, let's just be honest, we go, I didn't really hear that. Instead of being like, Saul, what would you have me to do? And we know that God hasn't spoke to me in an audible voice, and I don't think he has spoken to you in an audible voice as he did Saul here, but it was so loud and so clear to Saul that he said, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Let's continue reading. Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. So obviously they hadn't quite figured out who was talking yet. But Saul knew with no doubt who was speaking to him. Saul knew that Jesus was speaking to him. Hey, can you remember the time that Jesus spoke to you and you knew that Jesus was speaking to you? I'm glad that there was one time in my life that I know for sure that God spoke to me and I listened. And that was the night when I was 7 years old and he convicted my heart and he let me know how much that he loved me and he let me know that I needed forgiveness of my sins. And that night that I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I know without a doubt that one time that I was right on key with God speaking to me. Verse number 8, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. So as Saul was going on his way, and Jesus speaks to him here on the road to Damascus, that he is stricken with blindness. He can't see. He can't see anything. He is physically blind. But what Saul didn't know is that he was blind before that. He was spiritually blind even before that. But now God has given him a physical blindness, and now he is seeking and searching. Verse number 9, and he was there, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. So as Saul is laying here, and now he's been blind, and Christ has spoken to him and said, I want you to go over, and I want you to stay in this spot, and I want you to wait. Somebody's coming with instructions. Now, verse number 10 we pick up, and there was a certain disciple, a man who was following Christ, a man who was seeking God, who was telling others about salvation. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And I like Ananias' response. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. I'm here, I hear you. You spoke to me and I hear you. Verse number 11, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. The Lord speaks to Ananias and says, look, I want you to do this. I want you to go over to Damascus. I want you to go over here to the street called Straight. And there's a man there by the name of Saul. And I want you to go in. I want you to speak to him. Sounds pretty easy, don't it? Sounds like, okay, I can handle that. But look in verse number 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Now here's a man that was following God. We remember we had Saul that when God spoke to him, he says, what should I do? And here's a man that's following God. And when God speaks to him, he first says, here I am. And then when God speaks to him and tells him what he wants to do, he goes, but wait a minute, God, that don't make sense. See, God, I hear you. And I'm here, and I'm listening, but I don't like what you're asking me to do. See, that's the thing with me. I'll use me for an example tonight. Y'all can be holy tonight, and we'll all look at me. Because in my life, as long as God is asking me to do something that is easy, that he can get glory out of, I'm all for it. Hey, will you come pray at this? Yes, I will. Will you come speak at our church? Yes, I will. Would you come teach a Sunday school class? Yes, I will. Would you go with me down to the Cokehead's house and let's talk to him about Jesus? I don't know about that. That's not out of my comfort zone. But wait a minute, God, that don't make sense. And here Ananias, he's saying, God, here I hear you. Here I am, Lord. And then when Jesus tells him what he wants him to do, he says, I want you to go down and I want you to talk to Saul. And Ananias says, but that don't make sense, God, because I have heard how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. I have heard that he has authority of the chief priest to bind all that call on his name. I've heard some things about this guy, and I'm not sure, God. It doesn't make sense for you to ask me to do this. It sounds like a suicide mission, God. I don't think I'm going down there. Because it doesn't make sense that you would ask me to go to someone that is as bad as Saul is. It doesn't make sense that you would ask me to go to someone that has the power to harm me. It doesn't make sense that you would ask me to go to someone that this is going to be difficult. This is not going to be easy. Because we like easy. You know, it's really kind of easy when I say that. There is a big responsibility that comes with preaching the Word of God on Sunday mornings and preaching on Wednesday nights. There's a big responsibility that comes with that that's not easy. But you know what? I have never been here yet when anybody got up and throwed something at me while I was up here preaching. I've not been here yet when somebody stood up and wanted to debate something that I said in the middle of preaching, and it's not going to happen tonight, so sit still. I've never been anywhere yet. In here, yeah, ain't nobody throw tomatoes at me yet. Nothing like that has happened. Y'all will even laugh at my corny jokes from time to time just to make me feel good. This is kind of easy. But you know what? You remember Sunday when I was telling you about how the man came into my office and God opened the door for me to talk to him? That wasn't easy, and I slammed the door. I didn't talk to the man. And I know without a doubt it was too wide open. I mean, that guy had never said anything like that before that just threw it open to, hey, I want to hear something about Jesus. And when he said that I don't know if I could be a Christian or not because I can't forgive my enemies, I said, yep, that's hard. And that's all I said. Instead of saying, you know what, there's probably a lot of people that have that kind of same mindset. There's a lot of people that probably think that they can't be a Christian because they can't quit doing this, and they can't quit doing that, or they can't continue doing this, so they don't think they can be a Christian. But you know what? It's not about what we can and what we can't do. It's accepting what Jesus Christ did. It's accepting that he loved us so much that he gave his life on a cross for us. And when you accept that, I'm going to tell you, that's when that old man begins to die and that new man begins to be resurrected on the inside of your life. And of course, I wouldn't use words like that talking to somebody that's never been to church before, but that's when things begin to change from the inside out, and God will take care of all those things. It might be years before you feel that you can forgive your enemies. But God will give you the grace and the comfort and the peace to be able to do that. Instead of saying all of that, I said, yep, that's tough. But you know what? You let another preacher walk in my office at work and come in and say, boy, God's been good to me. Amen, brother, he sure has. I tell you what, ever since the day I got saved, there's been hard times. But and I mean, I'll fire off for 15 or 20 minutes. That's easy. But in my life, sometimes God asks me to do hard things, and a lot of times I dodge. A lot of times I say, I don't know, God, that don't make sense. Ananias here, he says, at first he says, God, I'm here. God, here I am, talk to me. And then when God begins to talk to him and give him the instructions, look, I know that Saul didn't really have much of a choice. I mean, here he is. He's been struck blind on the way to Damascus. It's been, I mean, an audible voice coming down out of heaven telling him what to do. But he followed. Didn't even ask a question except for, Lord, what will you have me to do? And then he done it. And I know he didn't have a whole lot of a choice because of what was going on in his life right here. But Ananias, when God spoke to him, he began to say, but wait a minute, God, that don't make sense. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now I just wonder, let's continue reading before I get ahead of myself. And Ananias went his way and entered in the house, and putting his hands on him, he said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared. I wonder if in that sentence he was going to, you know, sometimes we'll say God in a very generic way, and that way we don't offend anybody. And I wonder here if Ananias said the Lord. Anyway, man, he said, no, Jesus. Jesus said this, because you know what? There's power in the name of Jesus. You can say God, and there's a whole lot of gods out there, and we know there's only one true God, but there's a whole lot of little bitty G gods out there that people serve and people worship. But when you say Jesus, that puts the rubber on the road right there. That's where it all comes down to the seriousness. He says, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now, I wonder how many times in my life have I refused to go where God had sent me? Have I refused to miss? Because, you know, now there's a difference, and y'all all have probably experienced this at some time. There's a difference when you walk up to somebody and you just start telling them about Jesus. Now, I believe that God's in that. I believe that God can work in that. I don't believe there's ever a wrong time to tell somebody about Jesus. Never. Okay? But you know as well as I do that there's a difference between that and when you're sitting at home and God puts somebody on your heart and you know, I need to go talk to that person. I know I need to go talk to that person. And God just begins to drive that into your heart and into your mind. And you're like, man, I got to, but I don't want to. I got to. I wonder how many times even in my life that that has happened. And I refuse to go. Because look what happens when Ananias just goes, okay, God, I'm going to go. See, God spoke to Ananias, and Ananias began to give those excuses at first, but then when Ananias got ready to go and finally said, okay, I'll go, look, God told him, he said, because this man that you're going to, I've already been working on that end too. I'm already there. I've already showed him in a vision that you're coming, that a man named Ananias is going to come and pray with him and lay his hands on him. I've already showed him all of that, and he's going to know who you are when you get there. How many times? Now, look, there's not been many times in my life, but there's been a few that I followed God when he told me to go somewhere, and when I got there, those people were ready to hear what I had to say. I didn't have to say a whole lot. They were already ready. God had already softened them. God had already spoke to them. God had already been working, and really the only thing I had to do was show up. I remember a night, now, hallelujah, I forgot to cut mine off. From San Antonio, Texas. I don't believe that's God. So I remember a night that I was sitting at home, and a guy that I used to work with, he's right much older than I am, and he'd actually been coming to church with us for a little bit, and he kind of got back out of church and hadn't been around. And I knew that I was supposed to call him, and the Lord said, call him. Well, I like it when God says call him, because the worst thing he can do is hang up on you. You know, that God will call. Now, when you go sit down with him, that's a different story, but so I called the guy that night, and he picked up the phone, and I'm going to use the name Bob. It wasn't Bob. It was somebody else. He picked up the phone, and I said, hey, Bob, this is Josh. This may be the craziest phone call that you've ever got, because I don't know what I'm supposed to tell you, but I love you, and I'm praying for you. And everything got real silent. And I was just like, he's still there. You know, I was just waiting a minute, and I went, hey, Bob, you there? And the reason everything went silent is he was crying so hard that he could not speak. And we didn't have much of a conversation, except he said, thank you. You don't know how much I needed to hear that. Now, I have no idea what was going on in the man's life. No idea whatsoever. I just knew that God spoke, and God had already been working on the other side. God had already been moving on the other side. And I want us to know tonight that when God speaks sometimes and it don't make sense, it didn't make sense to me that night to call somebody and to say, hey, man, I love you, and I'm praying for you. As far as I know, his life was great. As far as I know, everything was going wonderful in his life. But I knew that that's what God had told me to do, so I done it. But sometimes when God don't make sense to us, it's easy to go out here, and not specifically easy, it's easier to go out here to people that we know that, hey, man, they used to go to church somewhere, and they just got out of church. Or we know this family, and they're a good family, and somebody needs to go by and invite them to church. It's easy for those. It's easy for the ones that you bump into that used to go to church here and you go, hey, you going to church anywhere? No. Well, won't you come back to church sometime? That's not too hard. But what about when God speaks to us and we bump into that person that's rough? Let's just say it like that. That's rough. That's having a lot of problems in their life. That their life is falling apart. And it's really not the kind of people that you associate with. Let's just put it like it is. How hard is it then to go, you know what? I love them, and Christ loved them, and Christ gave his life for them. I'm going to take a few minutes out of my day and speak to them. I'm going to take a couple of minutes out of my day and tell them that I love them. Tell them that Christ loves them. Hey, you know, seems like from time to time that we have an opportunity to be around people that, I mean, the day and time that we're living in, it's everywhere. But you know this person, and they've about lost everything they had because some kind of addiction had come in their life. Or you're around these people, and their family's broken up because they made some bad decisions. And you know what? Sometimes we think in our minds for some reason that it's our job to mark them. That it's our responsibility to stay away from them. But did you ever notice what the examples in the Bible says? It says go out into the highways and the hedges. And compel those to come in. Those, I mean, that's the, the blind, the maimed, the halt. I mean, that's the ones that we're supposed to be seeking after, but that's not easy, and it don't make sense. We might invite trouble in. We might invite somebody in that stinks. We might invite somebody in that hurt somebody's feelings over here. Get over it. I don't care. Look, there is a lot of things that have happened in all of our lives and all of our families and all of our past that bring hard feelings or whatever, and that's whatever happens, it's happened. It's past, and there ain't much you can do about it. But I want to tell you what, there's no grudge worth holding to cost somebody else the eternity in hell. Point blank, period. There's people that's done me wrong. There's people that's done you wrong. But it's time that we get over it and maybe get out of our comfort zone. Look, Ananias went to Saul. Look, let's keep reading. I'm going to be done here in just a minute. And when he had received meat, verse number 19. Is that where we're at? Verse number 18. Immediately there fell eyes from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. You know what? There may be opportunities that we've missed of people who Christ wanted to use us to make a difference in their life. Because just like that, Saul's life was changed. And we know that the transformation was so great that his name was changed to Paul. And man, you get in God's word and you read about him anywhere you want to, about how he set up churches and different things. So it's amazing what God can do, but we got to get over the fact of God don't make sense. Now look, I'm not asking you to be ignorant, stupid, or dangerous. I'm not asking you to do that. Because there's been times in my life that I almost made stupid decisions. The first church I was pastoring, there was a guy that had a really bad habit. I was doing my best to help him in any way that I could. Wanted to be there for him. Wanted to be his pastor. Wanted to help God. He had come to the altar time and time again and wanted to lay down his habit, and he couldn't quite seem to do it. And he called me one night kind of late, and he said, "Hey, will you ride with me over to so-and-so?" And me wanting to be Mr. Spiritual and go and help him and talk to him and have that opportunity, I was like, "Yeah, man, where can I pick you up?" And he told me, and this guy was probably, it was been a few years ago, so I was in my late 20s, and he was probably in his mid-40s, big, strong guy. And I hung up the phone, and all of them said, "Who was that?" And I said, "Well, it was so-and-so." She said, "Well, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to go give him a ride." She said, "To where?" I said, "To over here." He said, "He need to go over there and pick up something." And she's smarter than I am sometimes. I'm like a dummy. She said, "Absolutely not. You're not going." And I said, "Yes, I am. This is an opportunity for me to go talk to him." She said, "No, you're not. This is an opportunity for him to kill you and rob you is what this is." So what I'm saying is, don't be stupid and don't be, but if God leads, don't say, "Hey, wait a minute, this don't make sense. I'm not going to do it." Pray. And if you really feel like God is saying, "Yeah, go, go," you never know what kind of change God might make in somebody's life. You never know who God may send you to in order to carry them the gospel. And God may already be working on the other side. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. And God, I pray that you'll help us, that even in our lives, God, when it seems like you don't make sense, when maybe you're sending us to somebody that it doesn't make sense for us to use our time for that, God, that we'll just depend on you and that we'll listen to you. God, we know that this world is spiritually blind. And God, that all that lost people know is to have fun, God, and to follow the things of this world. And God, help us not to judge them for that, but to love them through it and to point them to Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you'll help us to always be what you'd have us to be. God, help us to always listen for that voice and be ready to respond when you lead us in a certain way, even when it don't make sense, to trust you, to follow you, and let you do amazing things through our lives. God, continue to touch our church and be with us. And God, may we always give you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.